The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good afternoon, and welcome to another episode of We the People Radio. Today's a hot one.
Hot one.
Well, it's hot outside, but
it is.
That's not what I'm...
What are we doing out there? About 102 right now?
I don't know. 100 million.
Yeah, it's...
We only live 2 miles from the sun, so it gets really hot here.
I was out on the sidewalk frying up my breakfast a minute ago.
Some other guy out there whose head was fried, so...
Yeah, he was talking to somebody, and it wasn't me.
Yeah. Reminds me, we should probably lock the door. Before we get all carried away, just wanted to let people know that if you would like to access our amazing archives that go back for years and years and years, you can find those at wethepeopleradio.us. And that's also got all the information, contact information for us. It has emails, phone numbers, and whatever all you could possibly need.
Mm-hmm.
We air Sundays live from noon to 2 here at KCNR Studios in Redding, California. And then we replay the show in Philadelphia and New Jersey on WNJC, on the Conservative Commandos Radio Network. That goes between, oh no, it's true mental. What are we, Bob? Keeps changing.
3:30 to 5 Eastern time on Saturday afternoon.
Did change.
3:30.
What do I know?
Yeah, I know. See?
2, 3, 4.
I know all of a sudden I had this, like, I usually keep the page up and I can read it. Anyway, that's what we're doing. So my name is Aaron Ryan.
And I'm Bill Cundiff.
Oh, and I'm Bob Martin.
So that way you have names to go with the voices. We're going to be chatting with Sheriff John Lopey out of Siskiyou County today because we talk about them a lot. They are the frequent subject of many of our programs for land use issues.
And for folks that don't know Siskiyou County, they are the most northern county in in California. They border the Oregon border, and on the south they border Shasta County.
Yeah, so they're just north of us and just south of Oregon. It's a beautiful county. Just a ton of resources, rivers. Really, they have Mount Shasta in their county. It's 14,000 feet. You have all sorts of great stuff in that county, and yet they are constantly besieged with government agencies and all sorts of problems. Today we're going to be talking about marijuana. And
nobody calls it marijuana.
I know.
it makes me
a nerd.
I should have wrote it down. There's like 15 other names for it, but it's not marijuana.
It's marijuana. We might have people that are old like us listening.
That's true.
You don't know.
That's true. They may not know what hooch is or any of the other
pothead.
Yeah. Pothead fucker.
There's gonna be a lot of fun with that. But we shouldn't joke because it's actually a really serious topic, and it's destroying their county.
Yes.
Absolutely making
very serious
a
problem.
Disaster out of their county. So while they try to maintain the law, actually, in their county, they have had these cartels taking over. Well, then you intersect that with an election where you're going to try to rein in the growing, and out come the cartels. Then you have suspected voter fraud. But then rather than looking at the voter fraud, the ACLU and those guys come rolling in, and they decide to accuse the sheriff of voter suppression.
Yeah. And so you've got a lot of folks up there growing that are doing business with the cartels. They may not necessarily be part of the cartel.
Well, they come from all over the place.
Yeah, they know where the market is. And
little nutshell of what we have going on. So John Lopey has an amazing biography, and I'm going to let him give it himself because I forgot to put it on the website. My bad. And it's extensive. He's a veteran, former highway patrolman, so lots of law enforcement. And he's written a fabulous paper on marijuana that I will post to the website as soon as he sends it to me. So do we have him in there, trapped?
Hey, Aaron.
Hey, nice.
I'm with you. Thank
John,
you.
How are you this morning?
Good. Good morning.
Hey, John.
Well, I guess afternoon now.
Yeah, we blew the morning. It's over. Give people your bio, some of your information there.
Well, I started my law enforcement career in 1977 with the Vacaville Police Department. I was a reserve police officer while attending Cal State University Sacramento. That was after serving a tour of duty with the Marine Corps during the Vietnam era. I didn't go to Vietnam. I went to the Philippines, spent a year over there, was in a couple other units. Was honorable discharged from the Marine Corps, started college, and eventually went to Vacaville Police Department. Then went on the California Highway Patrol. I started out my career in East Los Angeles, worked Oakland, worked a little of the coast, worked in Northern California, eventually became an officer, sergeant, lieutenant, captain, and retired as assistant chief with almost 33 years. And I decided to run for sheriff and was elected back in 2011 by the great citizens of Siskiyou County. And I'm on my second term with, this is my sixth year in office as a sheriff. I also, I served some time in the Marine Corps Reserves, but was going to be a Marine officer, but instead I went on the Highway Patrol. So what I did is I went in the Army National Guard. The Cal Guard at that time was a platoon leader for 4 years and actually served 30 years as a commissioned officer, first with the Army National Guard and then with the Army Reserve for the last 26 years. I was a went to Army Officer Candidate School, and I've served in three branches, military, police, infantry, and civil affairs, which for my last 16 years in civil affairs, I served in Haiti, Bosnia twice, Afghanistan, Iraq. I'm a decorated combat veteran, and it was my great honor, serving in the military, and I had the opportunity to go to a lot of places. In fact, I did spend a lot of time in Southeast Asia also with the civil affairs because our area of responsibility was in the Pacific Rim. But then after 9/11/2001, most of our time was spent in the Middle East. So I've been very fortunate to be able to serve in law enforcement for well over 38 years, and I had almost 38 years active in reserve service with the military. So I've been very fortunate to have been in uniform almost continuously since my 18th birthday.
So while defending the rights of citizens of the country in a variety of positions, you wind up this one article. I just thought the title was just so obnoxious, I guess we'll call it. And then I guess we better take a quick break, huh, before we launch into this. Am I on track, Bob? Okay. Show me a sign. Because when we come back, really, your work history and your personal history and all that, and then you wind up with an article that says right-wing sheriff under investigation for intimidating minority voters in California primary.
Right.
I mean, did your head just explode when you saw that?
Yeah, that was a little over the top, and I was vilified by the Southern Poverty Law Center. I had it out with them. I think they changed, their online entry. The ACLU, really went after us, and so did the attorneys in San Francisco, and printed a lot of falsehoods. And
our local paper, jumped on board too.
Yeah, they were. Unfortunately, they didn't get the facts. Now, I did have a discussion with Steve Smith, the editor, and he claims that he's going to investigate the inaccuracies because
right.
I complained to them. But, the media isn't necessarily with us, law enforcement in general. This is kind of a nationwide trend. But our local papers seem to be a little bit more objective, and certainly the news media up in Oregon, out of Medford, seems to be a little bit more objective. But generally speaking, the news media is not in our corner, I don't think. So, and unfortunately, this is creating problems for law enforcement, not only in my county, but regionally and throughout the country, really.
Yeah, and then, we've got the Attorney General's office in Siskiyou County after reports of sheriff intimidating voters, which, of course, is a giant lie because you guys, your county clerk actually asked them to come and look into the voter fraud, which is actually
Right.
Sort
what
of
what
ironic.
Happened was, yeah, our county clerk received at least 200 questionable voter registration application forms. They provide that to the district attorney in Siskiyou County and also provide it to the Secretary of State. I received at least four or five separate requests, you know, from the state to assist them because they were going to visit Siskiyou County and go out and investigate these allegations of voter fraud. Now, to me, we're assisting, the state investigators, and as the chief law enforcement officer in the county, you know, I have an obligation. Continuously, I provide support to federal and state law enforcement authorities because, you know, it's more or less my job. But what I did is I got the county department heads together, you know, the county clerk and the planning department and the Siskiyou County District Attorney's Office, our county assessor. We were involved, and we got, you know, the investigators from the state were all in one room, and what we were going to provide them was we were going to help them find these locations because a lot of these were obscure locations in the Hornbrook area, the KRCE area, which is the Klamath River Country Estates, and then the Mount Shasta Vista area, and then the Mount Shasta Forest. And these are very remote areas of the county, and we estimate that there are about 2,000 illegal marijuana cultivation sites in this area. So
wow.
You know, we've received recurring reports of intimidation, of vicious dogs, semi-automatic and automatic weapons fire, reports of people carrying assault-type weapons in these areas.
And we're
helping the state investigate potential felony violations of the elections code. And
so
we were going to escort them to the areas. And it wasn't just us. We had the Siskiyou County District Attorney's Chief Bureau of Investigations Chief there. We had Cal Fire help us one day. But we were providing security and really serving as guides for these state investigators. They're the ones that were making the contacts. And, what's sad about this whole situation is the fact that of the 200, we only visited 39 sites, and in those sites, after talking to my people, we only contacted 12 or 13 people in these sites. A couple of them actually admitted that they essentially committed voter fraud. Now, it wasn't our job to investigate that. We were assisting a state agency, and
sure.
What happened was suddenly we get these reports that were given to the press by the attorneys in San Francisco that they had hired because there's millions of dollars that had been infused in Siskiyou County, and there's organized crime here. And these people are coming from, you know, counties like Butte County, Fresno County, Trinity County. They're coming from states like Minnesota and Wisconsin and Massachusetts, Michigan, and suddenly, you know, we're being accused, me personally and my department, when we're assisting a state agency of voter, suppression allegations, which was just ridiculous. First of all,
hold that thought. We've got to take a really quick break. But
all right.
when we come back,
it's not a short story.
Yeah, no, which is good because that's why we thought we'd need the whole show. I think we will. When we come back, though, I want you to give us some demographics on your county to explain why these state agencies might need somebody to go with them to find some of these places. We'll be right back. You are listening to We the People Radio. Find us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
Let me get to the point. Let's roll another joint and turn the radio loud. I'm too long to be proud, and you don't know how it feels. You don't know how it feels.
So we'll have a little silly music going. Not to make light of the topic, but
that's just to keep John's blood pressure down.
Just to keep everyone's blood pressure down.
There we go.
That's what the music's for.
Yeah.
So, Sheriff Lopey, tell us some demographic information about your county.
Well, Siskiyou County, we have the fifth largest county geographically in the state. We have about 6,172 square miles. We have about 45,500 people. What's happened the last 2 years, traditionally rural counties like mine have been besieged by drug cartels. Most of them are from Mexico, not all of them. We call them DTOs, drug trafficking organizations. And most of them have traditionally operated in county, public land areas. In my county, it's mostly U.S. Forest Service. Now, that was traditionally, our biggest problem in years past. And we still have drug cartels in our public land areas. However, that's the biggest issue, a challenge we have that has arisen over the last couple years is the private property illegal marijuana grows. And I want to say up front that, the commercial illegal marijuana cultivators and purveyors in my county and elsewhere have attacked us because they accuse us of violating people's constitutional rights and attacking medical marijuana, proponents. That couldn't be furthest from the truth. As a sheriff, I'm obligated to protect the rights of people who have medical recommendations from a doctor for, a serious illness, as long as they have an amount of marijuana that's consistent with their prescribed needs. So I'm not talking about going after, medical marijuana users. I'm going after illegal drug traffickers because what's happened over the last couple of years, last year, we had this influx into our county, many, many people coming here to grow marijuana, to set up shop growing marijuana under the guise of the medical marijuana laws. Like many of them will have a recommendation, and many of these grow sites are in these areas I mentioned earlier, these three areas. But we also have a tremendous problem in Butte Valley out towards Doris and Tule Lake, and we also have a serious problem down at Happy Camp.
And you do have rules in place to
cheap land, and the fact that we had over the last couple of years struggled to pass a land zoning ordinance that would control marijuana cultivation, and we did pass a ordinance last year, the county board of supervisors did, that restricted the number of plants you could grow on county land parcels, and it ranged from six plants to 36, depending on the maturity of the plant and the size of the parcel. And one of our primary concerns also was that a lot of people were moving into parcels. They were buying relatively cheap land, and they were moving in and basically camping out, and many of them did not have a primary residential structure. They didn't have a well, and they didn't have a septic tank or a water treatment.
So a travel trailer doesn't count.
Didn't have proper fencing. Many of them started growing large amounts of marijuana, 50, 99, 200, 300 plants. And it was obvious that these cultivation sites were not, designed to provide, amount of medical marijuana, consistent with anyone's medical needs. It was commercial, illegal marijuana that was being produced and basically distributed to other states and other counties within the state. And what happened this year is because last year I thought the ordinance was a fairly good ordinance, but we had an enforcement protocol that was bogged down because the attorney showed up representing the growers, and our protocol to enforce the ordinance was paralyzed. So the county went back to the drawing board, designed a new ordinance that does not allow outdoor marijuana cultivation to control this huge problem, and we have an enforcement protocol that theoretically allows us to eradicate or to abate nuisances once they've been established within 5 days, and then if they appeal, there's five additional days. But we greatly shorten the time within which somebody could actually grow the marijuana and for us to come in and basically abate the nuisance, because our old system was taking 45 to 60 days, and then it was shut down. So now the county has two ordinances that we could work with that will be effective, because unfortunately last year we probably had in excess of 1,000 illegal grow sites in Siskiyou County that we were aware of on private property. And then this year we know that the number of sites have literally tripled, which has created a significant problem for us because, first of all, I've done a lot of research on this, and there are many, many health ramifications that are very deleterious to people. You know, the shattered lives, the families, the communities. And this, the THC levels, the active ingredient in marijuana or cannabis that creates the high, and that is the active ingredient for marijuana, the THC levels are elevating alarmingly, and it ranges, THC levels for regular marijuana ranges from about 10 to 35%, and in my county, that it usually hovers somewhere around 20%. That is highly potent marijuana. And then we started encountering a lot of THC extraction labs or honey oil labs, which produces a oily substances not unlike hashish oil that is very high in THC content that ranges from about 60 to 95% potency. So we have a serious problem. Now, this influx of people have come from counties that primarily that have more restrictive ordinances. So they took advantage of our lack of, enforcement ordinance-wise and have come up here, probably several thousand people have come up here into Siskiyou County, and they're occupying these rural parcels, and they are growing illegal marijuana because they're not growing an amount that is consistent with their prescribed medical needs. And we have intelligence to indicate that there's organized crime elements that are infusing millions of dollars into my county to basically overcome law enforcement efforts and hijack our political system to impose their will on us. And even if you don't agree with the health ramifications of marijuana use, what is impacting us the most is we're on the, in the fifth year of a drought. We had a good winter, but we have insecticides, pesticides, rodenticides, and herbicides being used on these sites. We have fertilizers. We have land excavations that are being done contrary to the regulatory provisions that the county requires. We have many of these sites where they're cutting down trees. They're ruining flora and fauna. They're jeopardizing wildlife, fish, and other animals. In many cases, they're stealing, we have water thefts. They are using, marijuana uses a tremendous amount of marijuana water. In plants, it ranges from about anywhere from 2 gallons to 12 or more per plant per day. 3 years ago, I did a survey 3 years ago, we seized 189,011 plants, and we calculated those plants that were seized in public land areas took about 1.3 million gallons of water a day to produce. So we have this blight, this environmental blight on our environment, and this water, watersheds are being contaminated. We have illegal stream bed diversions, and this is an environmental disaster of astronomical levels that we don't hear too much from the environmental groups that will come in here and try to stop timber sales. But we have this marijuana is creating tremendous problems.
Hey, John, I got a quick question here.
John.
Hey, John.
I don't think he can hear us.
County, and neither do the good citizens of Siskiyou County want us to be a drug-centered economy or county, and we do not want to be a drug distribution center for the rest of the country either.
Hey, John, can you hear us?
We have to take a really quick break. We got to work on our sound. We can't, you can't hear us. We can hear you, though, so that's good, actually. Really quick break. We'll be right back. We've got a couple questions for you when we return, mostly having to do with, you know, what's your ability to, like, fly drones over it and spot this stuff? You know, can you bring in National Guard? How do you, can you cut the money off? We have a lot of questions like that that people are firing at us through the chat room.
Okay.
You are listening to We the People Radio. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. Is coming back to bite us. So we have Robert on hold who has a question for the sheriff. We should probably do that before we get carried away here. Robert?
Yes?
Fire away.
Hey, I want to thank the sheriff for coming on the show. I, too, am a war veteran of recent operations. So thank you for your service, sir. I've spent some time after service getting into the field of psychology. I'm a aspiring therapist here in Reading, but I've seen this whole thing about marijuana take on a couple of different problems as far as we're dealing with an issue of illegal immigration. And let me start by saying first and foremost that I'm Hispanic, so talking about illegal immigration is not a racial issue. That being said, it's directly tied into these illegal grows that are occurring on private property. My parents have been out in Cottonwood for over 30 years, and the little ponds and streams where I've used to fish in as a kid just totally sucked of water, and you could Google map everywhere in northern Tehama County and see all these illegal grows out there, but there are no, like the sheriff said, no structures set up. So I'm wondering, my question to the sheriff is, how does this lack of enforcement of immigration laws really tie into this problem with these illegal grows?
Well, Robert, first of all, thank you for your service, and thank you for acknowledging mine. I really appreciate it. First of all, I think a lot of the problems we have, like the drug cartels, the DTOs from Mexico, you know, most of our drugs are coming in through Mexico, and unfortunately, because of our lack of border security, we have more crime here generated by people that are here illegally. It has a direct impact. And because of the freedom of movement, the fact that right now, believe it or not, I went to a recent California State Sheriff's Association meeting, and we were told by immigration officials, and again, I do not want to disparage our federal law enforcement counterparts because they're dedicated law enforcement professionals and they want to do the job just as well as we do or just as much, but they have been hamstrung by high-ranking bureaucrats who are not allowing them to do their job. You know, right now something like 87% of the illegal aliens that are picked up don't even get deported because you have to have like three misdemeanor convictions or be arrested for a felony that involves, you know, some type of violence. So obviously this has an adverse impact on drug trafficking, on the drug trade, because we have drug trafficking organizations that are operating from Mexico. You know, I go to Western State Sheriff's Association meetings because I'm one of the California state representatives on the Western State Sheriff's Association, which represents 15 Western and Midwest states. And you ought to talk to these sheriffs that are on the borders. They're under siege every day. And we actually have armed cartel members occupying mountain ridges in the United States of America, reconning and providing surveillance, giving information to the cartels and drug trafficking, you know, organizations. And again, this, the DTOs, the drug trafficking organizations, are also involved in human trafficking. I'm convinced in Siskiyou County, and I'm working with my federal agency counterparts to combat some of the human trafficking that I think, and exploitation of people in the drug trafficking arena or vocation. And it has a direct impact.
Yeah. I want to say one more thing. Thank you for all the hard work that you're doing. We need more sheriffs like you around the entire country. And just one more comment on the marijuana. Really, it's, you know, in my field, we understand how a human brain develops, and it's not really fully developed until somewhere between the age of 25 and 30, and it may be even more than that. But when you introduce a chemical like THC into somebody's brain that is not fully developed, you create an impairment in that person's ability to function later on in life that is permanent. In other words, they do not fully develop because of the fact that THC has been introduced into their system prior to them reaching full brain maturity. So that's just kind of a little bit of science I wanted to throw in there. And again, thank you for your time. Your show is awesome, man.
Yeah, and Robert, I'll tell you, you are right on target.
Yep.
And your statement is a one of wisdom, because you have just backed up thousands of scientific studies. Studies clearly show that adolescents, especially if they start marijuana use in their early teens, are more prone to schizophrenia, bipolar disorders, and other psychological disorders. Furthermore, adolescents often encounter a 6 to 8 percent point drop in their IQ if they're habitual users of marijuana through their adolescent years. And, really, marijuana has been linked to everything from impotence to brain cancer. It can be very deleterious to your health, and the younger you start using it, the more, deleterious or more adverse of impact it will have on you. And studies also show that people that use marijuana habitually have a lower income, are less successful in life, do poorly in school, and also are somewhat more dysfunctional than their counterparts who stay away from it. So thank you very much. It's a very, very great statement.
Yeah, thanks for your call, Robert. We appreciate that. Hey,
thanks for your call and thanks for your service.
John, I want to go back to something you were talking about earlier with the pesticides and the herbicides and that sort of thing. Why can't we get like Department of Fish and Game, EPA,
water quality,
all these state agencies to do anything about this massive pollution problem? And a lot of us have seen it. If you go out in the woods and you look at some of these older grow sites where they've left, it's an absolute dump site.
It's a toxic dump.
Cleanup.
Right.
Why aren't they going after them on that angle?
Well, we are exploring the possibility of getting the North Coast Regional Water Control Board involved. And also to the Fish and Wildlife, the California Fish and Wildlife's credit, they did put a warden on the North State Marijuana Investigation Team, which is a regional team out of Redding. I have a member on that team, and they're primarily attacking the grows in the public land areas. But there definitely needs to be more emphasis by these resource agencies on this enforcement, because this is serious.
Absolutely.
Because you take, my member recently, they encountered carbofuran, which is a deadly insecticide that was outlawed in the United States decades ago, but it's brought up from Mexico. And this carbofuran, like a half a teaspoon will kill a bear.
And what happens is the some of these cartel members will spread this powder-type carbapenem substance around a grow site to keep animals away, and animals will eat this, they'll die, and then birds will feed on the carcasses, and then this also leaks into the watersheds. This environmental blight created by large-scale marijuana grows, whether it's on public or private lands, is having a catastrophic impact on our environment and on our precious water resources. And yes, you're absolutely right. We need to get more help. Now, I am attempting to tap into some federal and state resources, especially to attack everything from finances to these environmental issues. But you're absolutely right. We need more help. The Fish and Wildlife has a team that goes around that attacks, marijuana grows primarily in public land areas. In my opinion, we should have someone from the Fish and Wildlife or North Coast Regional Water Control Board. They should have investigators that help us with these environmental investigations, because to me, that's the biggest danger that we're facing.
Oh my gosh, yes. And you have, you just have so many facets of this. I'm curious, when we come back, we need to know, what's the deal with the federal government? It's pot's not legal there, but it's legal in the state of California. I'm curious to know how that incompatibility actually fuels this and allows it to keep going.
And why the federal government doesn't really enforce any of the laws being broken either. Let's talk about that.
Well, why don't they?
That's a great point.
giant question there. We'll be right back with Sheriff John Lopie out of Siskiyou County. I guess I forgot to say that the last couple breaks. We are chatting with him about the prevalence of marijuana in his county, and we'll be right back.
Sailing lightly.
Get away from here.
Man, is that the reefer man?
That's the reefer man.
I believe he's losing his mind.
I think he's lost his mind.
This stuff. Who was it?
That was Jimmy Buffett.
Really? That didn't sound like him. He wasn't singing about umbrella drinks and some tropical paradise. I didn't recognize it. So we are talking with Sheriff John Lopie this morning about marijuana and what it can do for your county if you just don't have enough resources and you have a ton of... How much of this is on public land, John, and how much of it is private? Just out of curiosity.
Well, right now, again, 62% of our land is public land, and the biggest marijuana problem we have right now is on private lands.
Okay.
We estimate we have at least 2,000 illegal marijuana grows on private property, mostly on, like 2.5-acre parcels or larger. And we do have a lot of illegal grows on, the public land areas. But our biggest problem right now is these private property grows.
Hey, John, when you talk about illegal grows, tell us, what is legal? I mean, what can you legally grow in Siskiyou County, and what are you actually seeing? What's being raided out there?
Well, the big controversy in our county was measures T and U. T was the enforcement protocol, which allows us within approximately 10 days to abate a nuisance, and that is outdoor
growing of marijuana, because our new ordinance, which was Measure U, our new ordinance does not allow outdoor cultivation of marijuana in county areas. It doesn't impact the cities. And it allows you 12 plants. You could have 12 marijuana plants, cannabis plants, in a separate structure, you know, basically an indoor grow. Now, there's a lot of confusion out there, you know, and what I tell the medical marijuana community continuously, and sometimes this message is often distorted, is that we allow, you know, we do not bother the medical marijuana user as long as they have a recommendation and they have an amount of marijuana consistent with their prescribed medical needs. But essentially, our new law only allows 12 cannabis plants indoors in county areas.
Okay. And then what is...
what are you seeing in real life?
Yeah, what are you finding out there? I mean, we're hearing about commercial grows.
You know, I've gone to some of these grows, and I'll give you an example. We had a... we served a search warrant on York Road, which is a rural area up by KRCE, this Klamath River Country Estates. And there was a small parcel. There was a there was two mobile homes on this parcel, a garage, a tent, and a couple of other structures. And we found 65 marijuana plants that were still in the ground. 125 had been harvested. Those plants were not great plants. We figured they would produce about 1 or 2 pounds each. We found 2,000 pounds of processed marijuana, and we found 21 people on the site. Now, what were they doing on the site? They were processing the marijuana for illegal distribution, because they even had the one-pound bags, because generally they'll trim the marijuana. It's the, you know, the bud. It's the potent marijuana. They'll trim it, they'll put it in the bags, and then that is transported to, you know, down into the Central Valley, Bay Area, and to other states. And that retail, you know, that's millions of dollars worth of marijuana. But what we're finding in most of the sites on private property, we're finding 50 plants, 99 plants. We're finding 200, 300 plants. And many of these plants, you know, these people are spending millions of dollars, and these organizations, these organized crime organizations, are spending millions of dollars in Siskiyou County. And isn't it suspicious to you that nearly every one of these transactions, they will buy the land for cash. They will buy all their supplies for cash. They'll go to Meek's Lumber Supply. They'll go to Tractor Supply Company. They'll go to Ace Hardware, and they're spending cash for everything. And many of them come from other states. Many of them have not been here very long. Many of them are not abiding by county rules and regulations, because you're supposed to have water, and you're supposed to have a septic in the county areas, and you're also supposed to have either an established residence or have, you know, a trailer or something that you are using, but you have to get a building permit. Most of the people are not complying with this.
Right, and they're far from that. We're going to come back second hour with Sheriff John Lopey. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome back to the second hour of We the People Radio. Good afternoon. We are chatting about marijuana growing in, well, I'm sure it's happening in other places, but specifically, we're talking about Siskiyou County in far northern California, a county we discuss often on the program, and so you hear a lot about land use issues. You hear all the time from us about farmers and ranchers who are being crushed by regulation and governmental overreach and all these things. You know, one little fish dies in your irrigation ditch, and you're a criminal. And yet, they're being overrun with dope growers from other countries, really. I mean, a lot of these people are not legal citizens. They live, if they live in the country, they live elsewhere. The people have been doing a little bit of, you know, recon, I'll say, in the Walmart parking lot. They're looking at the vehicles there, brand new trucks from Minnesota, Wisconsin, help me out, Sheriff. What other states have you guys seen? I know Minnesota and Wisconsin are
Massachusetts,
big.
Massachusetts, Florida. yeah. there for many states, but several more predominantly.
Sure. And for people who think, well, it's just a Walmart parking lot, you have to remember this is in a town with, what do you have, 8,000 people in Wairika?
Yeah, about 7,500 people.
7,500 people.
Yeah, we have 45,500 total for the county. Now, that demographics are shifting, so that may be a little higher than that now.
But still, this is the only Walmart in your entire county.
Right.
So it isn't like everywhere else, you know, where there's one on every corner. So you guys are basically being overrun by folks from elsewhere. Whether and go back to the voter fraud thing just for 1 second so we can tie that up. A lot of those people were registered in Fresno and other places, correct?
Well, we have information to indicate that that some of these people didn't have a valid residency in Siskiyou County. Many of them are associated with other counties. A couple of the people that were contacted by these state investigators, it was overheard by my detectives or deputies that were escorting them, admitted with these two individuals from Sacramento, and they said, "Yeah, I'm from Sacramento, but I want to live here and I want to vote here." And so they're from a number of different jurisdictions. There have been a lot of links to Fresno's, one of the counties, because Fresno does not allow any cultivation of marijuana indoors or outdoors in any of the county areas. And then Butte County, some were from Butte County. They're from many different counties and from many different states.
Wow, you guys are really under the gun. So let's find a county that doesn't have a huge population, that doesn't have an overabundance of law enforcement, and go roll them.
I was over on the coast a few weeks ago, and there was a story on the radio of a couple of guys that were busted driving down 101 in some little sedan. Two guys in the front seat, and the entire back seat was stacked. I think they said they had 600 pounds of processed marijuana sitting on the back seat, and they were from New York. I guess they just went over and made a buy, and they're going to drive back to New York with it and didn't even get out of the county.
Yeah, and the thing is here, you could get maybe anywhere from $1,000 to $1,500 wholesale, for a pound of marijuana because it's high-quality marijuana here. But you send it to some of the metropolitan areas, especially back east, you may get $6,000 or $7,000 for that same pound of marijuana. So that amount of marijuana, that's probably a couple million dollars worth
of
retail. It's like that 2,000 pounds that we seized on York Road last year. That was could fetch over $10 million. Retail. I mean, this is a lot of big money involved.
Sure.
And that's what they're doing is they're trying to get as many people moving into the county as possible, and they're infusing millions of dollars. And then they're, some of these people are actually showing up at county board of supervisors meetings saying that, they're calling it the green rush. We're taking advantage of the green rush. This is like the gold rush, and there's a lot of money here, and we'll pay taxes, and we're spending a lot of money in your towns, and this is going to be a economic revival for you. And
yeah, right.
I just want to mention briefly that if you do research, personally, I think it'd be a serious mistake legalizing marijuana for recreational purposes in California. It would be a big disaster, because if you look at what's going on in Colorado and Washington, states that have legalized marijuana, they've had a lot of big problems associated with it. But look at how we tax tobacco and alcohol. We only retrieve a little over 10% of the societal costs associated with the huge societal costs of tobacco and alcohol. And it's going to be the same with marijuana. They may come in and spend a lot of money initially, and there may be some tax revenues generated, but you look at the broken lives and the health issues and the damage to the environment, and what you're going to get is you're going to be paying the bill for about 90% of the societal costs. And I was a drug recognition expert for 20 years. I worked in places like L.A. and
I've worked down in the Bay Area, and I've worked the coast, and I've worked in Mendocino County, and I've conducted operations in Humboldt County. And the lives that are destroyed, and the families that are disrupted, and the communities that are irreparably harmed, it's not worth the small amount of tax revenues you may derive from this illicit drug business.
No,
it's not good. We have Peter on hold who has a question or a comment for you, I believe.
Peter, are you there?
Yeah. Hey, listen. Hello to all you guys, and particularly Sheriff Lopey. My son's in law enforcement, and from what I know about you, you're my kind of guy, and I appreciate your stand on marijuana and so forth. I'm pretty outspoken about it here. I'm totally 100% against it. Bearing in mind, I don't care if you have a joint in your bedroom of a nighttime Saturday night with your wife, but this has nothing at all to do with Grandma and her glaucoma. According to Rick Simon here, 86% of marijuana people are abusing the laws. First of all, you don't need 12 plants. 2 plants a year give you far more than what you ever need for your glaucoma. It's all about money. And what pisses me off with all the Board of Supervisors and the cities of Northern California, they have it within their power to say no, to just make it a marijuana-free county or city. But they use the excuse that they're worried about the litigation and all the bloody attorneys here in California. But I point out to you that all these marijuana people and all these homeless people that have increased since the marijuana came into the bloody area here, you know, it's costing us $34.2 million a year in benefits and taking care of these lowlifes. And, so that's a lot of attorney hours.
No kidding.
Yeah, I tell you what, Peter, another man of wisdom, because you're absolutely right. I agree with you fully. I did a research paper when I got my graduate degree, I think at a superior institution, University of Nevada, Reno. And my research indicated that 2% of the marijuana users that have recommendation in California may have AIDS or cancer, and another 3% have serious illnesses that were actually in the original law, and about 95%, and that 86% is a fair estimate as well, really don't have serious ailments, and it's a very much abused law. You're absolutely right, and yes, we do pay the price, because if someone's sitting at home, consuming this high-level THC-laced marijuana, they're developing those health-related problems, and we're paying those costs. And I'll tell you, the cost for law enforcement and for the justice system and for our environment and for the health, especially of our children, it's astronomical. And Peter's right on target.
But listen, I really don't think it's good for society. I don't think it's good for America. You can't have you can't have everybody walking around stoned. I mean, the country just will not exist, and I think Colorado and the people the states that have actually tried it have shown enough. There's enough evidence around that most people are bloody idiots, and they put a communist Muslim in the White House to start with, so they're bloody idiots. And if you look at all the costs that these people, you just can't have society stoned. And as I said, I go back to the city and the county board of supervisors and the city, they can say no to this stuff. Just shut it all down.
Yeah, Peter's absolutely right. Court decisions have continually upheld the right of a county or a city to pass land zoning ordinances to protect themselves. And yes, we can say no, and I think that's very prudent. But, in Siskiyou County, like a lot of other counties, we don't allow the outdoor growth, and we allow 12 plants. And that is sufficient for the vast majority of medicinal marijuana users. But continuously, I've gone to these sites where you have 50 or 60 or 70 or 100 plants, and somebody will say, well, I have a back problem, so you need 100 plants. Well, yes, some of the plants may die. It's, and you're right, the attorneys get involved. But, at least our county's taken a stand, and I just hope that we stay with it, because
Sheriff,
I think we're
protecting the health and safety and really the economic vitality and the quality of life of our citizens for years to come. And, Peter, you're right on target. Thank you.
Peter, thanks for calling. We appreciate that. Sheriff, you know, one of the things you
hear from these folks is, oh, it doesn't have an impact on crime. You know, if they legalized it, we wouldn't have all this crime. But, you know, you stop and think about, you have somebody driving down the road with several hundred pounds of processed marijuana, like you said, that's a lot of money sitting there. What is that person willing to do to make that payday happen? And what position does that put that law enforcement officer in when he walks up to that car door and you've got a couple guys in the front seat that are hauling that kind of stuff? It's not a good situation. Have you seen an increase in violent crime in your county as a result of this?
Well, yes, we have. You know, marijuana, first of all, some people have a psychotic reaction to it, and marijuana creates more crimes because you have the thefts, the home invasion, you have the robberies, you have the assaults and murders. We've had assaults here that are associated with the marijuana industry. If you ask the Trinity County Sheriff and the Shasta County Sheriff, they'll tell you most of their murders are associated with the marijuana industry. And I don't believe in victimless crimes. I'll give you a quick example. New Year's night, I was driving around with one of my coworkers, and we responded to a call in the local area about a half a mile from where I'm talking to you now. And we had a 19-year-old girl that was allegedly out of control at home, and her mother wanted us to respond. So we respond, and this young, beautiful, intelligent young lady is in a fetal position on the floor of her bedroom. She's 19 years old. She's got a marijuana bong in her room. We had to take her out of the house, took her to the hospital because she was a danger to herself and others. And I talked to her for an hour when she finally calmed down, and she started using marijuana in her early teens, and she's basically, you know, addicted to it. She's tried to commit suicide twice. So you look at all these kids that are consuming marijuana, and even the adults, and, you know, studies clearly show that they develop health problems. They're not going to be, you know, typically some may be, but they're, you know, studies show that they're going to be less productive at work, less productive at school. They're going to have a lower per capita income. They're not going to be as successful in life. So what we're doing is we're sanctioning this. The government's sanctioning this drug that is diminishing the capacity of people to succeed. And if they become addicted, you know, adolescents, they have about a 9% addiction rate in Colorado, but since they've legalized marijuana for recreational purposes as well as medicinal purposes, now the addiction rate for adolescents is 16%, 18% in Colorado, and 29% of the college students are using marijuana on a regular basis, and 62% of the kids that are in drug rehab in California are in drug rehab because of marijuana.
It
is a serious problem. It costs us, and in my opinion, cartels are still going to produce illegal marijuana because they're not going to want to pay the taxes, and they're still going to want to provide marijuana to people that aren't going to have it, like kids. And that's what's happening in Colorado. You know, Colorado's being sued by a bunch of different states because the other states are being flooded with marijuana that's being produced in Colorado under the so-called guise of recreational marijuana.
Well, yeah, but it's illegal for under 18 to smoke it and marijuana.
Of
that
course.
Should have an effect on the adolescents.
We have to take a really quick break. I do want to say someone just posted in the chat room something that was sort of humorous. They want to know, where are all those Canadian wolves when we need them?
Right.
Ties back into some of our.
Well, they're here.
They're here. They're just they're just not feasting properly. So we don't want to advocate anything bad, although that is kind of a fun solution. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
We will be right back.
Well, you filled up my head with so many lies. You twisted my heart till something snapped inside. I'd like to give it one more try, but my
give a damn for sure.
La la la, pot, pot, give us some pot. Forget what you are, you can be what you're not. High, high, I wanna get high. Never give it up if you give it a try. La la la.
And that's about the kind of music you'll wind up listening to. Who is that, Bob?
That's Neil Diamond.
Sounded like Neil Diamond. I didn't know Neil Diamond did pot songs.
Oh, yeah. Go Neil Diamond, he was an old pothead.
Was he?
Oh, yeah.
Jeez. Got a governor who's a pothead? I mean, we need to get...
That's actually an anti-pot song if you listen to it all the way through.
Oh, it is? Oh, okay. Yeah. So Neil Diamond's not advocating. Okay, that's good. Okay, so Sheriff Lopey, what have we missed? What did we not discuss today? I know there's, like, a mountain of it, but... What else are you seeing that we need to know?
I think a couple things I'd like to mention is the fact that the majority of Siskiyou County residents know what's going on, and they support law enforcement. They're just fabulous people. But we are really under siege by organized crime that I haven't seen in my 38-plus years of law enforcement. Another thing is what people should recognize is that these promises made by the marijuana industry that you know that we're going to see some type of economic recovery in our counties is a false promise that will not come to fruition. Another thing is, you know, marijuana that is really not legal in California per se. There's a legal defense pursuant to the Compassionate Use Act of 1996 and the MMP, the Medical Marijuana Program, enacted in 2004. You have a defense if you have a recommendation from a doctor and you have an amount of marijuana that's consistent with your prescribed medical needs. Another thing is a lot of people realize that, you know, marijuana has never been classified as a legitimate medicine by the FDA because the FDA has never sanctioned any type of medication or drug that is smoked. So, you know, it's a struggle in our state, and what I would ask everybody to do is contact your elected representatives, you know, your board of supervisors, your city council, you know, your assemblyman, your state senator, and certainly your congressman. I know that ours are staunch law enforcement supporters, and they know what's going on, but we really have to pay attention to what's going on, because if we can't, as a county, and I can't, as a sheriff, enforce the laws and protect the rights of all inhabitants of my county. This is a phenomenon that's really is characteristic of. And I don't want to imply that I'm bashing the media, but the media and some politicians at the national level and even sometimes the state level, they have a tendency to demonize police without looking at the facts. And this article in the Record Searchlight was really hate speech against police. Yeah, you know, questioning my enforcement taxes and enforcing my assistance that was provided to a state agency. It seems like, you know, we can't speak out because we're demonized or vilified by the media, by lawyers, by the ACLU, by the Southern Poverty Law Center. And I asked them. I said, "Do you believe in putting accurate information out there?" And they usually say, "Yes, we do." Well, you know what? Inaccurate information is getting out there, and it's making it harder for law enforcement agencies and administrators to do their job because the truth is not getting out there, and there seems to be a rush to judgment. And instead of vilifying law enforcement administrators or honest deputies and police officers and highway patrolmen that are out there, drug agents or others that are trying to do their job, why don't you look at the facts first? And like in this case, I asked the Record Searchlight, did you ever consider that perhaps there was voter fraud going on? So the shift goes away from the lawbreaker to the peace officer who's enforcing the law. And I see this is endangering lives of law enforcement officers and all peace officers, federal, state, and local, and it's making it almost impossible to do our jobs. And it's also leading to an increase in crime, especially in the metropolitan areas. And that's just my opinion on that.
Well, you know, another thing I think
people don't realize is if, you know, it is quasi-legal in California, it is not legal on the federal side. I have personal experience with a fella who had to have a driver's license, a Class B to drive a truck with air brakes, which could be a big truck, could be a service truck, could be a delivery van. If it has air brakes, you got to have that license. Well, that license is controlled by DOT, which is federal. So if you're out there, you know, you want to smoke marijuana and you have that license, it's going to cost you your job if you take a drug test and don't pass, because you're going to lose that license, and you're not going to be employed anymore. So I imagine there's probably a lot of jobs out there that do have federal overtones that, even though you live in California, you better stay away from it.
Right, and you know, that brings up a great point. You look at the DUI drugs, like in Colorado, it's gone up like 100%. The fatal accidents where THC is in the system, both in Washington and Colorado, are exponentially increasing. The number of school expulsions related to marijuana, the number of emergency room admissions, and people are consuming. Edibles are a big problem, too, because in Colorado, as an example, like, they use this honey oil, and they may have 100 milligrams of pure THC in a gummy bear or a cookie, and they recommend like 15 milligrams per serving, and people eat one or two or three of these cookies, and they're doing crazy things, and, you know, people are dying. And people tell me a lot, oh, well, nobody ever died from marijuana. I had a doctor tell me that in Mount Shasta. And I said, well, you know what, you ought to read all the studies, because there are people dying because of marijuana, and in my opinion, it's a Schedule I dangerous drug under the Federal Controlled Substances Act. And you're right, I believe the federal government should step in, and I don't think they should allow recreational use of marijuana. But what's happened is the federal government has kind of, the current administration has kind of laid back, and they very seldom have intervened. Now, we have a great working relationship with the FBI, with the Drug Enforcement Administration, other federal agencies, the Forest Service, and also the U.S. Attorney. And the U.S. Attorney is assisting us with our issues up here, and we have a task force that's helping us to do some other investigations related to the financing of these organized crime groups. But it is a big problem, and it would be nice if, the federal and state, political leaders would step up. But a lot of them don't know enough about it, and they get pressured. I'll tell you what, when you put millions of dollars into the legalization effort, it's hard for law enforcement to fight back. Every single law enforcement professional organization, including the California State Sheriff's Association, Cal Chiefs, California Police Officers Association, they're all adamantly opposed to any expansion or legalization of marijuana for recreational purposes in the United States, because they see the damage it does in their respective jurisdictions.
John, do you find, in working with the federal agencies, do you find a reluctance on their part to really step up and get involved and pursue enforcement?
I would say we get excellent support from our federal and state counterparts. The problem is that we don't have enough resources up here. We have one Drug Enforcement Administration agent in Redding. I've asked for additional resources. They are probably going to get another DEA agent in the Redding office. We just don't have a lot of resources. And a few years ago, one of the most catastrophic developments occurred in California when the Bureau of Narcotics Enforcement at the state level, they're a DOJ, Department of Justice Bureau of Narcotics Enforcement, was disbanded, and many of our drug task forces. We're lucky in Siskiyou County because we have the Siskiyou Unified Major Investigation Team, which is a Cal DOJ-led task force that deals primarily with, meth and heroin and, cocaine and prescription drugs. And we have a big problem with opioids and heroin, too. and meth in all our communities. And we also have a North State Marijuana Investigation Team, another California DOJ-led team out of Reading that, again, is helping us, you know, in our public land areas. But I think the federal and state agents are great. They do a great job. They're dedicated. They will help us all they can, but there's just not enough of them, and there's not enough drug task forces, and we need help. There's no doubt about it.
You guys, we need to take a really quick break, but when we come back, I'd like to hear about the money, the influence of the money in your community, because you have really good people who are actually, we'll call them accomplices. You know, they might sell, you know, topsoil or water or whatever. And how does that work? You know, you've got a lot of industry that's been crushed, timber, mining, all that. And so what's available to people is now this...
support.
Yeah, right on target.
Support
we've got
industry.
Sirens going by. We're going to come back with those answers from Sheriff John Lopie out of Siskiyou County when we return. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
Sweet Jesus, once told over the line. Sitting downtown in a railway station, one told over the line. Waiting for the train that goes home, sweet Mary, woman, and the train is on time. Sitting downtown in a railway station, one told over the line.
Some people call me the space cowboy. Yeah. Some call me the gangster of love. Some people call me Maurice. 'Cause I speak of the pompousness of love. People talk about me, baby. Say I'm doing you wrong, doing you wrong. I'm a grinner, I'm a lover, and I'm a sinner. I play my music in the sun. I'm a joker, I'm a smoker, I'm a midnight toker.
You know, we're lucky we're not all potheads. We listened to all this stuff back in high school. I kind of forgot.
I didn't know what it meant.
Doesn't that bring back memories? I know we're all singing along to the pot songs. I wonder our parents were freaking out. Oh, my gosh. Okay, so tell me about the ancillary financial gain.
Well, there's definitely a surge of, you know, dirt haulers, water trucks. A lot of these areas where this marijuana is being illegally grown do not have they don't have wells on their property, which is required by the county. And so what you have is some of these people that live in these neighborhoods are besieged by these water trucks, you know, running up and down the roads, causing damage, you know, day and night. They have big trucks hauling dirt. You have drilling operations that are, you know, drilling wells for some of these cultivation sites. Obviously, you know, you have a lot of, you know, you have businesses cropping up that are providing construction materials and fertilizer and potting soil and containers and, you know, there's been a surge in, you know, some businesses, especially the sell, you know, some of these folks are buying, you know, like outdoor type portable garages and setting them up and living in them. I mean, there is a lot of business that is being generated, and also real estate. You know, some of the vast majority of real estate agents, I think, are very ethical. And I have a friend of mine that is a real estate agent. If someone tells him that he's purchasing land to grow marijuana, he won't, you know, he won't deal with them. But obviously, there have been literally thousands
of parcels of land that have changed hands in recent years, and many of them for the purpose of marijuana cultivation.
And cutting the money off, any potential to do that?
Well, we are, you know, when I talked about other agencies, we're talking to, there's a task force that we've asked for assistance and support from who deals primarily with financial issues. We just had a briefing from the California Army National Guard Adjutant General, Major General David Baldwin, one of the finest adjutants general we've had in California, and he is dedicated to provide additional resources, you know, analytical support, aviation support. The Guard is involved in, the campaign against marijuana planting. We have the Western States Intelligence Network. I am attempting to get as much support as I can from as many organizations as I can at the federal and state and local level. And to some extent, that has been successful. And yes, there is a possibility of, going after the money. I could just tell you that is ongoing. That is one of our strategies. And our strategy is multifaceted in nature. And we're going to hit them from as many directions as we can. We're also going to do some on-highway enforcement. We're using virtually every agency that has anything to do with land management or enforcement, and also we're using, of course, the planning department of the county, you know, for the ordinance enforcement, animal control. Yeah, I mean, you name it, and we're using them.
What about, have you seen an uptick in the on the asset forfeiture side?
Well, primarily last year, there has been more money picked up, drug money, illicit proceeds from drug trafficking, because, Interstate 5, and that's another complicating factor in Siskiyou County, Interstate 5, U.S. 97, to a lesser extent, Route 96, these are all major drug corridors. So the Highway Patrol and other agencies have done an excellent job, interdicting, drugs and monetary proceeds, and in some cases vehicles. Now, we're exploring the possibility of, seizing property and things of that nature in the event we identify a criminal enterprise. But right now, our main focus is to enforce our ordinance, criminal violations of law, if applicable, and attempting to get voluntary compliance. What we would like to do through our ordinance and through our enforcement is to gain voluntary compliance from these people. It's probably not going to happen because they've arrived and they've manifested themselves in such great force. They're looking at us and, they're laughing at us. They're saying, we actually have some of these growers that are looking at my detective sergeant or some of my people. Eyeball to eyeball, tell them you're not taking my marijuana. And it's almost as if they feel they are not accountable to the law, and they certainly, the referendum that we had on the ballot, that was, the TNU measures. Those were put on the ballot by marijuana proponents. They were trying to repeal those laws, and they put out a lot of false information, stole a lot of signs, and, did a lot of other things to try to undermine the effort. But essentially, the people of Siskiyou County, the vast majority of them, spoke and said, hey, look, we need to control this problem, and we're not going to discriminate against medical marijuana users. We're not letting this wholesale criminal, illegal cultivation and distribution of marijuana, take hold in our county.
Yeah, that gets back to what we were talking about earlier. How frightening is it for somebody to walk in on some big, large growing operation that's being
right.
operated by cartels, and you don't even know it, and all of a sudden you're walking into a situation where they're armed to the teeth, and you're going to be lucky to get out of there with your life.
Right, and that's a good point because we're getting these recurring reports of people with weapons, and I mentioned earlier the semi-automatic and automatic weapons fire.
people carrying, assault-type weapons. And it does pose a danger not only to us, but what I'm concerned about is we're getting at least 20 complaints a day from citizens who have moved into these beautiful areas of Siskiyou County, and suddenly they're surrounded by illicit marijuana grows. And last year, the people that occupied these areas were not necessarily aggressive or discourteous. Well, now they're trying to intimidate people. They're trying to scare people. They're attempting to, sometimes they close off roads. They're getting vicious dogs. And they're walking up with suitcases full of $25,000 bills and just saying, hey, your land's worth $18,000. Here's a suitcase with $25,000. You take it. It's yours right now. And they're trying to scare and intimidate people into leaving and moving. And these are good citizens that deserve a quality of life that they expect in a county like Siskiyou, one of the most pristine counties imaginable. And we owe it to them to allow them freedom of movement and at least allow them the ability and at least the assurance that they could walk down a road or a street without being intimidated or without these illegal marijuana sites cropping up all around them. I mean, some people are afraid to go for walks, to ride their bicycles, to have their kids or grandkids out in the neighborhood. Some of them are being threatened and intimidated by, many of these cultivators, and they want them to move out so that they could take over these areas, and we shouldn't allow that.
How big is your department, John? I mean, how many folks you got on the ground to enforce it?
We have about 112 total personnel. We only have about 50 people from me on down, working the field side, and right now we only have about 30 sergeants and below working the field. And we have about 39 working the jail side, and plus, dispatch and a lot of our professional staff. We have a little over 100. We've lost about 30% of our personnel in the last probably 10 to 15 years because of budget cuts, and we haven't had a pay raise in 7 years. I mean, it's really tough. We're four positions down right now. And the county board of supervisors did take a strong stance. I allocated a detective to our marijuana eradication team, and I have a detective sergeant. Well, they're gonna triple that. We're gonna have 3 2-man teams operating for 4 months, primarily in these three problematic areas. So the county has given me additional resources to triple the enforcement effort on private property. This year. So we are better off than last year, and the county's also offered to provide equipment and other resources that we need.
That's good. I know that you guys had a jail measure. I don't know if we want to get into that at all, but that makes a huge difference. You know, even if you can arrest these people, where are you going to put them?
Right. Well, essentially, our jail measure S did not pass. It was a special tax that required 66 2/3 of the voters. Now, the county, the project is not dead. The county's looking for other funding sources because we got $27 million in AB 900 funding from the state. We're trying not to give that up, but we have a $9.7 million deficit due to escalating construction costs. So what the county's trying to do is they may put another referendum on the ballot in November for a 1/4-cent sales tax increase to take care of that $9.7 million deficit, because right now, our jail is full all the time. We have nothing but felons, and most rural jails are in that category because of realignment.
Yep.
And because of Prop 47, which rendered most drug possession charges and even commercial burglaries and thefts misdemeanors.
$950.
So we are struggling like other counties, and we hope to keep our jail project alive because we have to give that $27 million back if we don't somehow fund the jail project,
is horrible.
And I gotta say too, the Siskiyou County is working very hard through realignment funds we've been provided by the Governor Brown to rehabilitate people. We probably could serve as a model on how we try to rehabilitate people and give them the tools to be more successful on the outside. So we need the jail, but we also try to rehabilitate people too.
Nice. Well, when we come back, do a little thing on Prop 47. I'm not sure most people know they voted for it, actually. I meet people all the time who have no idea they voted for that.
The Streets Act, which is pretty much the opposite of what it really is.
Which was crazy.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
But nice names on things, but they, you know, the impacts are often the opposite.
It really is something else. We'll be right back with Sheriff John Lopie. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
From Colombia, she smiled because I did not understand. Then she held out some marijuana. She said it was the best in all the land. And I said, no, 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 I don't smoke it no more. I'm tired of waking up on the floor. No, thank you, please, it only makes me sneeze. Then it makes it hard to find a door.
I was gonna go to class before I got high.
Come on, y'all.
Check it out. I could've cheated and I could've passed, but I got high. I'm taking it next semester and I know why.
Man,
yeah, cause I got high. Because I got high.
Go to the next.
I was gonna go to court before I got high. I was gonna pay my child support, but then I got high.
No, you wasn't.
They took my whole paycheck, and I know why.
Why, man?
Yeah, cause I got high. Because I got high.
Just more fun things you have to look forward to.
Yep.
The future of America.
Oh, my gosh.
Are you employable?
No, because I got high. ridiculous, but we laugh, but it isn't funny. So Prop 47, what kind of stupidity did we do on that one? It was called what? Safe Schools and Streets Act.
This law was passed, and people see this, we're going to make the streets and schools safer. It was really the opposite. What this law did, in a nutshell, was to render drug possession charges misdemeanors. And misdemeanors are, you know, violations that where you're going to go to the county jail, you're never going to go to prison, and usually their penalty is less than a year. But imagine you have heroin or cocaine or methamphetamine or angel dust benzcyclidine, or other drugs, and it's a misdemeanor. And what that has done is essentially, you know, we can't keep these drug violators in jail. Not that there are a lot of drug violators in jail anyway. And then imagine if you could go into Walmart, and as long as you don't steal $950 worth of merchandise, you can wheel the cart outside. And if you're caught, it used to be a felony, a burglary, you know, enter a building with the intent to commit a grand or petty theft or felony, it was a felony, and then grand theft. If you stole a large amount of merchandise, and now if you don't hit that 950 mark, it's a misdemeanor.
And just write you a ticket.
Only.
Brilliant.
And if you steal a gun, you can steal a gun. You can break into a enter a commercial establishment, steal a gun, and as long as it's not worth $950, it's a misdemeanor. And this has been a complete disaster throughout the state. What you're seeing is escalating crime rates that we haven't seen in 50 years in a lot of cities in California and jurisdictions. For example, you know, my property crime or nonviolent crime rate went up 10% last year, and a 4% violent crime rate increase. But some cities like Redding, it was something they have like a 48% increase in property crimes. Yreka, I think, was over 30%. I think Weed was over 30%. And I'm not trying to criticize those departments. Those are fine departments. They're great departments. But what you're seeing, you can't keep these habitual offenders in jail anymore. And these laws that are passed, they're not holding people accountable. And people are getting arrested for misdemeanor offenses or like Prop 47 offenses or for misdemeanor arrest warrants, and laugh at you. Well, go ahead and arrest me. And
yeah, we have.
They
spend
a couple hours in jail, yeah, and they're out.
Well, that, you know, and that number I think is low because, I mean, I know in our case,
a lot of these crimes go unreported. I mean, we've had two incidents in the last year at our house that weren't even reported to the police, so that's not even on the record.
We didn't know about them right away, for starters.
You're absolutely right. I mean, this stuff goes on. Because I go to a lot of statewide meetings, and I go to meetings with the U.S. Attorney's Office every quarter, and you'll have like Fresno. You know, they're reporting crime rates, violent and property crime rates, they haven't seen in 50 years.
Yeah.
I mean, it is very, very alarming, and citizens really should be concerned.
Well, then
when you have jails that are full, I mean, Shasta County Jail, you got a great sheriff there, Tom Basenko, but the jail's always full.
Right.
And then Reading Police Department is one of the best police departments in the region. You got a great chief. You know what? These cities are struggling. And it's because of Prop 47 and laws like that really don't hold the people accountable for serious offenses.
Well,
and drugs, in my opinion, you know, illicit drugs are causing, you know, most of my crimes, and it's a big problem. And now on top of this, the people of California, I hope and pray, do not legalize marijuana for recreational purposes, but... things are not looking very good right now. And then you see the national, trends where law enforcement is under siege. I have not seen so much scrutiny, unwarranted scrutiny, directed towards law. I haven't seen anything like this during my 38 years. The only thing close to it is when I was in the Marine Corps during the Vietnam era, when a lot of disdain was directed towards those great soldiers, sailors, airmen, Marines fighting for their country, and they still got a lot of scrutiny from the media and even from some of our fellow citizens. I mean, this is terrible what's happening to law enforcement, and if we make a mistake, fine, call us on it, and we have an obligation to fix the problem and move on. But, this scrutiny is being heaped upon us by politicians and by some members of the media. It's just unwarranted, and it's helping to contribute to these crime rates.
Yep,
and
thanks.
Laws don't help.
Thanks, Sheriff Lopey. We have absolutely run out of time. So, voters at the ballot box, you gave us Prop 47 in California, not the nutty legislature. Just don't want to put too fine a point on that. And we appreciate all your work, Sheriff Lopey, and thank you for your service to our country. We will see you on the road.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the opportunity to be with you today.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
And you have great viewers. Thank you. They're listeners.
Thanks.
Thank you.
See you guys next week. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.